Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So we've just been speaking about the lack of long-term residential care beds in large parts of rural Ireland, and the latest trolley figures show that 626 patients were waiting for a hospital bed. Joining me now is Dr. Eamon Brazel, emergency consultant at the Mater Hospital in Dublin. Eamon, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Morning, Claire.
So step-down facilities, how important are they in the hospital system?
Well, clearly, any kind of a hospital bed or a step-down bed is very important. So just specifically on that, an awful lot of patients who are admitted into a hospital, despite your best efforts, it takes time for patients to recover. And the debate we would have is, like, you need to be in a big Model 4 acute hospital with ICU, theatre, X-ray, for the whole entirety of your recovery. And the answer probably is no, you don't, for a certain cohort of patients. Locally in the matter for, it's at least 10 years ago, some of our colleagues set up a step-down facility in Fairview, which is about 75 beds, which is kind of, it's considered part of the matter hospital. But for the type of patient you're talking about, it's ideal. So somebody who needs longer periods to recover can get out of the frenetic activity of an acute, big, beefy hospital and go to a more tailored approach where you try your best to get a patient fit to go back to their own home, or at least you can plan their long-term nursing care mm-hmm. from there. So from our perspective, we'd be lost without those 75 beds. I'm sure other institutions have something similar. My own feeling is we probably need more of them. I mean, there is evidence. Clearly, we need more hospital beds, but do we actually need loads more of Model 4, you know, high acuity beds, or would we be better value by building, you know, Model 2 less high acuity beds? Probably a mixture of both, but certainly, you know, step down care is important.
I just see the latest figures in from the INMO this morning. Their trolley watch figures, which they issue every day, and they say there are 574 people who have been admitted to hospital and are waiting for a bed this morning. 384 patients are waiting in emergency departments. So that is relevant to your experience on a daily basis. And I know you've been working in the system for 20 years. So how does today compare with when, say, the early days of your emergency department career?
Well, the volume of patients we see is far greater. I mean, the matter will probably see over 100,000 patients in 2024. When I started, it was probably around 50, 60,000. So there's a gradual increase in the number of patients attending, and therefore that converts into a number of patients being admitted. But certainly the number of patients waiting to get into a bed is increasing year on year. Unless something dramatic happens, that's not really going to change. It's the same every winter, but it's practically a year-round problem at the mm-hmm. moment. And from our perspective, the emergency department, like the function of an emergency department, is really to deal with acutely unwell patients that nobody else in the hospital can manage. So heart attack, stroke, you know, gunshots, car crashes, the real emergency stuff that comes in through the front door. And by and large, if you come in with that type of condition, you're in the right place and you'll get appropriate care. The difficulty we have is that, you know, there are no other doors available into the hospital system on a 24/7 basis. So a significant majority of what comes through our doors doesn't actually need to see an emergency physician. They need to see somebody and be put in a hospital bed and have tests done. So our frustration is that we'd look in the waiting room and there'll be loads of patients there that need care, but not necessarily by us. And if you're a GP and you've got somebody with pneumonia or somebody with increasing back pain, increasingly your only option is you can't ring the back specialist or the respiratory consultant and say, I need to put Mrs. Smith in a bed today. The only solution is to come to an emergency department, and that has to change.
So you're seeing all comers. That's the that's the problem.
Yeah, so the health service really, it evolved a number of years ago, what they would have called an acute medical system, where patients who are sick but not requiring emergency care, a cohort of physicians and teams would look after those directly. The same for acute surgical problems. Now, it has evolved slowly, but in my opinion, like the state, the HSE needs to decide, look, we can't keep doing the same, you know, system and hoping that it's going to change. We're going to have to decree that acute medicine, acute surgery, acute psychiatry, and acute social services. These systems will have to beef up to do 24/7 direct access for GPs into hospital beds. Mm. Now, each institution will probably need different supports to do that, but unless we actually change the way we're going to do things, it's never going to improve. So if you'd ask me where should the significant investment and change occur, I think it should open up new doors into the hospital, not just one door and hoping that the emergency department can sort out all these fixes, which we can't do and never will be able to do.
Yeah, that makes logical sense. But then I look at my screen and I see that figure of 574 patients waiting to leave, waiting to get a bed in the hospital. So if you're saying that you open more doors into an already overcrowded hospital, where does that get you?
Well, we have acute medical systems. So not every patient will need to be seen in a bed. They can be seen in the equivalent of a cubicle in an emergency department, but that can be in a different part of the hospital where you have a dedicated team looking after those. So the patients that come in, get managed and go home, they don't have to sit for 12, 14, 16 hours waiting to see somebody who's actually in dealing with somebody who's got a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to need beds, they're going to need beds. But surely it makes sense that they access those beds through a different route rather than herding everybody into one defined area.
So this is the part of the health service that still operates on a Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 basis. You're saying that system needs to be blown up.
It's gone, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, patients don't stop getting sick at 6 o'clock in the evening. We may have got away with that 25 years ago when there were less things you could do for patients. It was less complex. It was less stressful. So you might have said, well, look, let's just put people in one area and work from there because the volume wasn't great. The volumes are enormous now. We will have about 70 admissions over the 24-hour period through the matter. That'll be the same in Vincent's, James's, Beaumont. Like it's an endless number of patients coming through that you cannot just expect one system to manage.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dilute it. And in our experience, if you get to see the appropriate expert with your condition, that consultant and team are very comfortable managing that and can manage it far better than I could manage it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get through patients quicker. You might discharge more patients than I would. So it'd make more sense to have the appropriate people dealing with them. Now, I accept there's going to have to be an increase in supports for those teams to do that. But that's where the money should go.
So a triage system that is not based around the emergency department triage system
we consider like a navigation hub. So you shouldn't have, if you've gone to a GP, and the GP who knows you thinks you've got pneumonia, you get it every year, you've got emphysema as a background, that patient knows you far better than I do. And he knows or she knows that you need to be in a hospital probably for 2 or 3 days. They should just contact whatever specialty normally looks after them and bring them into a bed, get them treated and gone home. There's no need to triage that patient at all. The GP knows what's wrong with them. The physician knows what's wrong with them. They just need to get into the bed.
So why isn't that happening, or is it being considered?
I know, I think it is slowly evolving, but I suspect a lot of other specialties look at what emergency medicine is like and say, well, my God, I don't want to be like that. So it's not as if people are going to put up their hand and say, I think we should offer a 24/7 service. I think people have to be listened to what their concerns are about that. They certainly don't want to have a system like we have in emergency medicine. And then they'll have to be given the supports to actually achieve that. And I think it's doable. I think if there is enough supports, people will say, well, yes, OK, let's just do it.
So,
it'll certainly make a huge difference for patients.
So, Eamon, you're saying that if a doctor who's working 9-to-5 or a healthcare team working Monday to Friday 9-to-5 looks at what the other option is, which is what you're doing, they would look at that and go, well, I do not want to be there doing that work on that schedule.
Yes, yeah, no, and I would tend to agree with them. So something has to change. We have to kind of, you know, divide out the difficult cases. But bear in mind, most patients that present to a hospital will come between 8 in the morning and 8 at night. A lot of the activity after 8 o'clock at night is actually true emergency work, which will continue to come to us, or it's patients that we're trying to catch up on. So if you had an effective process 8 to 8, 7 days a week, an awful lot of the nocturnal activity would be gone.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't need to be 24-hour, potentially.
Well, ideally, but I think it'll take a while to get that. But, I mean, you can have an on-call 24/7, you know, after, say, 10 o'clock at night. But I really think we need to divide out the work a bit better.
Eamon, great to talk to you and really interesting to get your perspective on it. That's Dr. Eamon Brazel, who's emergency consultant at the Mater Hospital. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.